The sermon today is titled, What Do You Want? You probably came to church because you wanted something. But let me ask you, what is it that you want? In the passage we read today, there is a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. He sat outside the temple gate, begging from those who passed by. That was how he barely managed to survive, living off whatever coins or items they gave him. Since he was blind, it was not easy for him to find another means of living. The only thing he could do was to beg with the other blind people on the street. In our country, what do beggars normally say when asking for help? Spare me some change, please. Spare me some change. But back in the time of Jesus, they said, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. As far as what I know, even in China, our neighboring country, beggars cry out in the same way, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Then, the blind beggar heard something. Jesus, the one called the Son of David, was passing the way. This Jesus is whom we now worship as our God. When this blind beggar heard that Jesus was coming the way, he thought, I can't miss this chance. Jesus was passing the way. He was advancing towards Jerusalem. The reason I use the word advance is because at the time, Jerusalem was under Roman colonial rule. It's similar to how South Korea was colonized by the Japanese. Likewise, Jerusalem was groaning under the Roman oppression. For this reason, there were people fighting for independence. And those people supported Jesus because they believed that if Jesus led the way of the independence movement, because so many followed him, then their fight for independence would succeed. Thus, they focused on the miraculous signs and wonders Jesus did. For example, with 5 loaves of bread, Jesus fed about 10,000 of people until they were full. During a war, military provisions and food are essential. So, blocking off the supply route of the enemy is a way to win a war. Since Jesus was capable of feeding a multitude of people in any situation, they believed, with him on our side, we can surely win this war. We can gain independence. Moreover, Jesus laid his hands on the sick and healed them. So they imagined if anyone was injured during the war, Jesus could just lay his hands on them and they would be healed. These people thought, we are more than able to drive away the Romans and restore our country's independence. In this way, they regarded Jesus as their political leader. They thought Jesus was the leader they had long been waiting for. In other words, they thought Jesus was the king who was to restore their nation. That's why they called him Son of David. But why did they call him Son of David? For Israel, more specifically, the kingdom of Jerusalem, their greatest king in their history was King David. David reigned as king about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus and during David's reign. The kingdom of Israel was very powerful. The people of Israel, therefore, dreamed of the restoration of the king's authority and the glory of Israel. Hence, they awaited the son of David to come. They anticipated a king as powerful as David to come to them. That is why they called Jesus son of David, son of David. They truly believed Jesus was the leader they waited for. In this scene, people thought he was going into the city to start a revolution. It was in this moment that the blind man called out to Jesus. He cried out loudly, "Jesus, son of David!" He had no choice but to shout in a loud voice. Because of the multitude around Jesus, he had to shout at the top of his voice in order to reach him. The people around him rebuked him. They rebuked him because after he said, "Jesus, son of David," he went on to say, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me." It was the typical cry of a beggar. Others thought Bartimaeus was simply begging. But is a beggar any important when a king is charging into the city? If he had cried out while Jesus was taking a stroll or handing something out for the needy, it might have been understandable. But the situation they were facing was a pressing one. And in such a situation, this beggar was apparently begging by saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." That was why they rebuked him. Yet, the beggar didn't stop there. He cried out all the more with all his strength, "Jesus, son of David!" He shouted several times. That's when Jesus stopped going his way and said, "Tell him to come." The others were probably displeased about this. Why does he want to have anything with the beggar? Then Jesus asked the beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man's answer is remarkable, which is why history is written in the Bible. What did this man say? Have a think about it. If this man had a similar standpoint as the rest of the people at the time, this is what he probably would have said. When you become a king, please take interest in disability welfare. Or, if you come into power, please provide a monthly pension for people like us. However, what actually came out of this man's lips was this, "I want to see." He said he wanted to see. He was blind and he wanted to see. How can a country's leader make a blind man see? Isn't this something possible only for God? How could a beggar request something like that? So Jesus was amazed by this man. This man didn't perceive Jesus as a political leader. Rather, he believed Jesus as the one who could open the eyes of the blind, as God himself. Today, a new book written by Seongnak Church's senior overseer, Pastor Gi-dong Kim, was announced. The book is titled, "He is God." Yes, Jesus is God. Jesus, whom we believe and follow, the one who died on the cross and rose again, who lived in Nazareth, was baptized, fulfilled God's work, and was put to death. This Jesus is God. And we know this today by the Holy Spirit. However, most people are neither aware of nor believe this. At the time, when most people regarded Jesus as a political leader rather than a religious one, this man perceived Jesus as God. Hence, he requested of Jesus something that could only be requested of God. I want to see. If Jesus were not God, he might have said, "Hey fellow, what power do you think I have to open your eyes? Do you think I'm God or something? Are you making fun of me?" Yet Jesus' answer was, "Let it be done according to your faith." And what happened next? Right then and there, the man was able to see. The blind man's eyes were opened. Then he followed Jesus. He went with him all the way to Jerusalem. He became a follower of Jesus ever since. The reason I'm telling you this story is not just to say that Jesus can open a blind person's eyes. Indeed, Jesus can open a blind person's eyes, and his believers can do the same. Although I'm not some special, but I have laid hands on a blind man, just as Jesus commanded, and his eyes were opened. This didn't just happen once by chance. When I, trusting in the Lord's promise, laid my hands on them, a number of blind people opened their eyes. These things can really happen. But what was remarkable about this man was that other people at the time didn't have that kind of faith. Even the disciples who were with Jesus didn't have such faith. In fact, it should have been the disciples before anyone else, yet they couldn't have this faith even though they have learned from Jesus for 3 years. Actually, before the eyes of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, were opened, something else had happened. On his way to Jerusalem, many people were following Jesus. At the time, Jesus quietly called his 12 disciples aside and said to them, "When I enter Jerusalem, the chief priests and the scribes, that is the religious leaders, will deliver me to the Gentiles, and they will scourge me, mock me, and finally crucify me to death. But on the third day, I will rise again." But perhaps the disciples didn't take these words to heart. An awful situation was waiting for them. Something terrible was about to happen. In that moment, one of the disciples excitedly said, "I will go with you to death." This man erroneously believed that Jesus was advancing into war to restore their nation. Hence, one of them said, "I will also die with you." At the time, the mother of two of the disciples who were brothers came to see Jesus. They were John and James. These brothers were very close to Jesus. Their mother came to Jesus with her two sons and made a request. It was what you might call a classic case of push parenting. She said, "When you come in your kingdom, that is, when you hold power, let one of my sons sit at your right and the other at your left." In other words, she was requesting them to be second in command. She was ambitious, wasn't she? So Jesus asked them, "That might be possible if you can drink the cup I am about to drink. But can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" They answered they could. Then Jesus replied, "You do not know what you are asking. To sit on my right and on my left is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." On hearing this, the other 10 disciples became envious. "What's wrong with John and James? Why did they bring their mother to Jesus so that they might gain power?" They were indignant, grumbling behind their backs. At this, Jesus said, "Come on, wake up. Rulers in the world exercise authority over their subordinates and assert their authority, but it's not like that in the kingdom of God. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first must become a slave. The reason I came to the earth was not to be served, but to serve you instead. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. I came to offer myself as a sacrifice for your sins." Although Jesus said these things, the disciples were still caught up in the thoughts of becoming second in command and hoarding power. While Jesus was entering Jerusalem in tears, these men were all puffed up as they followed behind. And it was on the way that Jesus met Bartimaeus. When Jesus asked him, "Come here to me, what do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus answered, "I want to see." That was what he wanted. He didn't see Jesus as someone who would make him rich or bless him on earth, but as God. Therefore, he asked Jesus what is only possible with God. This man's faith was truly extraordinary. And such is the faith God wants us to have. You might have come to church with the hope that your child would get a good job. Or maybe you came to church hoping that your business would become successful. Perhaps you came to be healed of an illness. Or these I mentioned are aspects which God can certainly provide help with. Nevertheless, it is not exact faith if our eyes are fixated on earthly things. The reason we want to draw closer to God is because we want to receive that which only God is able to provide. He is God. What He wants to give us is not money or health, which is here for a short time and then disappears. Even if we have to give up everything else, what He wants to give us is eternal life, which only God possesses. He gave that to His Son, Jesus Christ, and although people killed Jesus, He rose again on the third day. He is living and in heaven and still hears our prayers. He is God, and God wants to give us exactly what He gave His Son. He desires for us to be resurrected and enter heaven to live eternally with God. This is the very reason we believe in Jesus. All of this might sound like some old folk tale to you. I used to think so too. I thought it was utterly nonsensical. However, there are numerous testimonies to this fact. There are so many testimonies to be experienced on earth. Furthermore, everything Jesus did wasn't done spontaneously, but they were the prophecies of the prophets from long ago, which He fulfilled. In due time, Jesus will also take us to heaven into eternal life, but He gave us promises that we can experience while we are on earth. That is how we get through all the countless problems that only God can deal with. Every single day, we are experiencing this. This becomes the testimony of the eternal life we will have. I haven't yet resurrected, and I have been to heaven, yet I'm absolutely certain that I will. How? Since Jesus' many promises have already been fulfilled in me, I know very well how faithful He is to keep His promises and how powerful He truly is. Ever since I believe in Jesus, I have had many experiences that are impossible for man to do. Many of our church members have had similar experiences, and even the person who led you to church has had those experiences too. They are too numerous to count, and such wonderful testimonies. But those who have no interest in Jesus often don't believe our testimonies and say, "There's no such thing in this world." However, these experiences are real, and they are testimonies of eternal life, the gift that God has bestowed on us. These experiences I mentioned are very common, that for us believers, they are no surprise. The following is my personal experience. It was not long after I believed in Jesus, about 2 or 3 years after, when I was a university student. My aunt and cousin came over to our house. I hadn't been a Christian for very long. In fact, I was a new believer at the time. My aunt and cousin slept over at our place that night, and my cousin slept in my room. He was 10 years old. I told my cousin about Hill as a way to scare him. And in the middle of the night, around midnight, when all the others were asleep, he rushed out the bedroom door crying. You can imagine how awkward I felt. Although I tried to persuade him to come back to my room, he was so frightened that he ran to his mom. Everyone was woken up this night, and I got in trouble for making him cry in the middle of the night. But I felt like I shouldn't leave the matter as it was, because the boy was terrified with fear. I didn't intend to scare him. When I spoke to him about hell, I had more to say. So I said to my aunt, "Auntie, I can't leave this matter like this. Please give me some more time." Then I calmed him down and brought him back to my room. I began to tell him about the forgiveness of sin and heaven. Your sins have already been paid for when Jesus was crucified and died 2,000 years ago. If you only believe, you can receive God's grace now and even experience that grace on earth. He was such a simple and innocent child who even cried when I talked about hell. So when I talked about heaven, his countenance completely changed. He was filled with joy. I told him, "The word you have on your face, I will pray for that." He had not just one or two, but many words all over his face. Think about it. This 10-year-old got words one day, which he scratched and picked, and then they spread more and more. He was taken to the doctor several times, but nothing worked. His mom was very upset about it. And since he and his mom happened to be at our place, I started the conversation with him so that I might be able to pray for him. I told him, "I will pray for you, and you will get better right away. And this will be a testimony of how you will later be resurrected and enter God's kingdom. So have faith in this." Then I prayed for a short prayer for him. Do you think his words went away straight away? It would have been wonderful if they did, but they didn't. The next day, he went back to his home. And the day after that, I got a phone call from my aunt. She was very excited as she spoke, "How did you do this?" The words had disappeared. When my cousin woke up that morning, his face was cleared up and no word could be seen. She said, "You have some supernatural power." My aunt was not a believer. "That's not a supernatural power I have. It's a promise given to anyone who believes in Jesus," I told her. "Really?" she answered, and she was determined to have faith also. They all became believers, but unfortunately, they later turned to Catholicism. Nevertheless, since my cousin experienced God's word and how the words on his face all disappeared, he definitely believes that God will take him to heaven. He has a testimony. In this way, when we come before Jesus today, we come before God. Jesus is God. He was on the earth for a short time, and during that time, he suffered and died like a man. However, God raised him to life and seated him as king of God's kingdom. He is God. Therefore, the one we praise and worship at church is Jesus. The one we rely on is Jesus. The one we praise is Jesus. The one whom you must meet is Jesus. In Jesus' name, I bless you that you will get to meet Jesus, who is God. I will pray. Father God, thank you for granting the souls gathered here a chance to meet Jesus. We are unworthy to come before you, God, but we give thanks for Jesus redeemed us from our sins through his blood so that we are able to come before you without fear. Help everyone here to meet our living Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.